take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Nurses Out Loud, the ultimate platform where insightful conversations, compelling stories, and thought-provoking interviews take center stage. Join us as we delve into the depths of human experiences, showcasing resilience, courage, and unwavering determination in the face of challenges. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and uplifted as we bring you a blend of knowledge, emotion, and inspiration. Today, I am honored to introduce our remarkable guests, Chrissy and her husband, Aaron. I met Chrissy when I was working in the ER recently, and I was the nurse assigned to her care. Chrissy recognized me as the nurse whistleblower, and today we talk about our encounter as well as her experience as a patient. As many of you know, I returned to the bedside a couple of months ago after 2.5 years since blowing the whistle. After releasing my protected disclosure, I had more than a dozen complaints against my nursing license and was ordered to complete a formal ethics evaluation in which I was deemed ethical in my disclosure and my license intact. I thought I would never be able to return to this setting since many of my beliefs don't match up with allopathic medicine anymore. But as God would have it, this hospital checked all the boxes and I accepted a position. My heart has always been drawn to being a staunch patient advocate and taking care of their mind, body, and spirit, regardless of their beliefs. Alongside Chris stands her husband, a military veteran forced into early retirement after 23 years of service for refusing the COVID injection. It still blows my mind how we let so many dutiful and longstanding military leave. In this episode, we will delve into their journey of facing adversity head-on, navigating the consequences of standing up for their beliefs, and the profound impact of their unwavering commitment to each other. Join us as we explore the complexities of loyalty, sacrifice, and the unbreakable bond that defines their shared resilience. Prepare to be inspired and moved by the unwavering spirit of Chris and Aaron as they share their powerful story with us today. This will be a two-part series, so join us next week for the conclusion of it. So now, sit back, relax, and prepare to embark on a journey of discovery with our diverse lineup of guests and topics. This is Nurses Out Loud, and I'm your host, Nurse Jodi O'Malley. Before we get started, please make sure to like, save, and review our show. This helps to boost us up in the ratings. We are here 5 days a week with a different nurse host. And on Fridays, the four of us come together to answer your questions. Send us an email to nurses@americaoutloud.com. Welcome, Chris and Sarah. Thank you so much for joining me today and having the courage to share your story and your experience. I am just absolutely humbled. Thank you.
Thank you for having us on. We are super just blessed. I know I was blessed to really meet you, and I felt like it was really a divine appointment, and so I'm just thankful to have this opportunity, and I feel like it really is our honor. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, let's go back to that day, and let me ask you, can you walk me through how you were feeling being in the emergency room and You know, I remembered that. So that day, guys, I was precepting, if you will, or orienting, I guess orienting would be a better word, a nurse that is new to the emergency department. Interesting story there. When I saw her in the break room, she looked at me and she said, "Jody." And I said, "Yes." And she actually trained me when I was a student nurse and I was working in the ICU. So very, very funny how, you know, the circle actually closed that day. And now she's new in the ER and I'm training her. So it was very interesting. But her and I walk into the room and I'm listening to her doing her assessment. And, you know, well, I'll talk more about that part because I'd actually like to hear Chris's perspective before I share mine on it. But yeah, anyway, go ahead, Chris. Tell us your story.
Yeah, so I went in. So, well, I guess I should start with I really tried to avoid urgent care and hospitals just kind of at all costs. I really take a holistic approach to things, you know, always initially. I haven't always been like that, but I just feel like I was like that even before COVID, but I feel like COVID even just like ramped all of that up. And so I don't even like with my, I can't even remember the last time I went to the doctors prior to this. Honestly, it's been a really long time. I just don't trust a lot of doctors. And so.
So let me ask you, where did that come from? You said that this happened before COVID. Like, where were you at with that then?
Yeah. So to go back a little bit. Yeah. So I think when I got saved in 2009. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got saved in 2009. And I feel like ever since then, I've just always been on a search for truth. And so, not just with, you know, the Bible and like with my faith and, but just, I kind of took that and I put it into every area of my life. And so I was like, well, I want to know the truth about this and also about this and about my body and about healthcare and about doctors and about all these different things. And so, you know, if you do Google searches, it, you know, kind of a rabbit hole, you know how that works. Yeah. And so I just happened to stumble onto guys like Dr. Robert Malone, Del Bigtree, you know, all these guys, you know, like the heavy hitters, you know, and Weston A. Price, who are like health freedom defense. I just happened to stumble into all these people. And so I just started probably a few years before COVID hit. I started really getting into a lot of like, well, what really is going on with like pharmaceuticals and these doctors and what are they studying at school and what's really, you know, what's really going on? And I just, it was like, the more you go, you realize like there's so much more you can go. Like you feel like you're delving in and like, you know, like you've already attained so much information. You've already learned so much, but for me, it was like, I was really just hitting, you know, the tip of the iceberg initially, you know, and then when COVID hit, it was kind of just like, I was already following a lot of these people on social media and like, just different things like Newsmax. And, I had already, I think it was when Trump, when Biden got elected, I was like, I am done with like just watching the news because I just didn't believe anything anymore that I was seeing on like Fox News and CNN and all these different. And so, it was just kind of one of those things for me where I really wanted to, I don't want to be lied to anymore about anything.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, when COVID hit, it just kind of ramped it all up. Cause I'm like, none of this seems right. Like these vaccines are being like pushed through with no like studies, no long-term, like 10-year studies, like how it's supposed to be. Like, they're just like, we're not guinea pigs. Like, what is going on? And so I started, you know, doing some more research on that and just found like, okay, like we have to know like what's really going on.
Right. Right. And, do our part. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so, when I went to the hospital and recognized you, I was just like, wait, initially I was like, Initially, I was like, oh, she looks familiar. And I was like, well, I didn't really think anything of it. And then I was like, no. I was like, I feel like I know her from somewhere. And so I was like, and then you came in because I had saw you when I was walking across the ER in the back. And before you had come into my room. And then when you came in and you started talking, that's when I was like, oh, and then I saw your name on the wall, and I was like, there's no way this can be like the Jody that I'm thinking. But sure enough, we got to talking, and you got to hear, like, when she asked, do you have the COVID vaccination? I was like, no, me and my family, none of us have it. I don't want it. Please don't make me take it.
Right. You know, when you said that, when you said, nope, I haven't taken it and I don't want it. And I was like, oh, this girl knows what's up. Like, I couldn't wait to hear more about it. Aaron, what was your thoughts during COVID, during 2020? Were you awake because your wife was always like, down this rabbit hole? No. Okay.
No, not at all, Jody. This is strictly her. She leads us in that evolution, or that environment, so to speak. And I appreciate it because I've never got into it like that. And she's come home with something. And I'm not gonna lie, I gotta fake be excited sometimes, and sometimes I am. But I just it's her lane. But I love to see her passion. I love to see my wife passionate about anything. But especially with our health and the betterment of our family. And so we've reaped from the benefit of her doing this research and going in. The kids and I may not always be happy with it, but in the long run, I've seen the fruit from it. And so yeah, no, this is strictly
It's because he can't drink his Mountain Dews anymore.
yeah, no, it's all it's just this is all it was all a Chrissy thing, but I thank God for it.
Yeah. And I mean, so how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 9 years. It'll be 10 years come November.
Oh, cool. That's a big milestone.
For sure.
So, how was it for you, Chrissy, knowing, your husband in the military, and he's had to take, all the injections and all of this? Like, that probably was a little rough for you.
It was really difficult just knowing that, like, he didn't have a choice. Like, and I don't feel like that is okay ever. Like, it's our body, and we should be able to have a choice in whether we want these drugs, in us. And I don't think that it's the government or the military's place to force us to take these vaccinations or whatever or drugs, whatever, if it's not something that we are behind.
Right. So Aaron, as far as the military is concerned, you receive the bulk of these injections right when you sign up, right? It's not like you're getting them every year or anything like that, right?
No, you're absolutely right, Joey. Once you first come aboard through boot camp, we kind of, sheep to the slaughter, just kind of line up and they just start punching us. And I think the worst one was the one we took in our butt cheeks. I don't have the medical term, excuse me, but the big tennis ball in there and we're massaging it. We don't know what it is. And I think the latest one that I did have a little resistance as a young man was anthrax. Went through that little session and a lot of people fought against getting it, and they got the scare tactic as well as the same way they did with COVID. We're going to kick you out. We're going to do this. We're going to do that if you don't get it. And a lot of people stood strong. And so there was phases that they introduced us to that to the anthrax, and they didn't even finish it. So we don't even know what happened. It was like it was supposed to be, I think, 6 to 9 phases of the shot, and then we got to maybe two or three. And people just resisted, and that we're not taking it, and then it just phased out. So.
Oh, wow. Because people stood up. So, are
People
you
stood up.
saying, when you say phases, was it a series of 9 shots?
Yeah, that's what we were advertised, that it was supposed to be like these 9 shots of anthrax we were supposed to get. But we only got to two or three of them. And that was the, I mean, I was asking, hey, what's going on? We're still getting it. And it was like, nope, we're done with it. So who knows what's floating around in my body?
But you look like a healthy man, so
Yeah, thank
we're
God.
good. Yeah, thank God is right. So how was your experience through 2020 and knowing that this vaccine was going to roll out, and the isolation, and what was that like in the military? Were you active duty?
I was active duty. Honestly, I didn't really take too much thought into it until things that hold dear to you gets challenged, right? And so for me, it was, you know, my wife was doing a lot of homework with it, doing a lot of studying with it, and kind of really diving in. For me, it was, God, what do you want me to do? You know, how do you want me to move in this season? You know, a lot of things personally between me and her and our relationship during that time was more on the spiritual side. I mean, it was crazy. Like, even though all this stuff was going on, God really dealt with us on really trusting him even prior going into 2020. We were on this we were in the season of how do we get away from always waiting for confirmation from what God wants us to do versus just hearing what he says and saying yes. Right?
Okay.
He's telling us to go this way. He wants us to do this. We heard him in prayer. And so the getting us prepared for that was he had us shut down our home from the morning time to 9, 10 o'clock, no cell phones, no social media, no nothing. And we were just spending time with him. The whole house went into worship and prayer. And we did that from 19 going into 20. So we God was already challenging us. And then 2020 hit, shut down everything. And so we were in this space where we tell people as a testimony, Maverick City would just start getting going, if you know who that gospel group is. And so we would watch them on YouTube. They had back then they didn't even have a record out. It was just YouTube videos. And it was people that looked like us and they were just worshiping. And so we like joined in and we became fans of that. And it was the first time I ever heard contemporary Christian music mixed with gospel. And it just brought me back to my roots. It really just spoke to both of us. And it just ushered us into learning not to perform for God, but to really operate from his presence. And that's where our house, you know, kind of adjusted to. And then COVID hit and we really didn't have anywhere else to go or do anything. And so we just continued on. And I didn't know what was to come in the future. And so it was preparation for all of that.
That I absolutely love that. And now that I'm hearing you, so Chris, were you saved before you met Aaron?
I was, yes.
Okay, so kind of recently, prior you said 2009 you got saved? Okay, and you we're 2024. We're not 2020. You guys have been married since 2014.
There it is.
Okay. And how old are your children?
5, 6, and 7. Well, 7-year-old just turned 8. Sorry. So 5, 6, and 8.
Oh, wow, you're busy. Okay. So they were babies when COVID struck. Okay. And you were trapped at home. The caution tape was on the playgrounds, right? You
I
couldn't
think
do
they were
anything.
2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that I love that story. And I'll tell you, Aaron, I am just so happy to meet a strong man of God. It really, I just, I'll tell you, and for me, in February of 2019, I had just returned from Seattle seeing a guy that I was dating. And at that time, I was newly single. I had lost 50 pounds. I became a nurse. I just was confident as all get up, right? And I had no pro I still have no problems, but I mean, I had no problems, you know, having that attention. And when I came back, I was walking to the bathroom with my cell phone and I was looking at, you know, one of the dating apps and God told me, get off of here. And I said, okay, all right. I've heard from the voice of God before. So I was like, okay. And so I sign out and he's like, no, delete it. You will know who he is when I bring him to you.
So
And
awesome.
I literally said to God, well, I don't know if I want him. I'm having fun. And
Right.
then I thought, Jody, if God brings you the man, you know, you're gonna want him. And he like literally took that away from me. He took the desire completely away from me. And I immersed myself in education. Because I remember not that long after, like maybe a couple weeks later, a nurse on my unit said they're shutting down the world for 2 weeks for COVID. And then I said, excuse me, what? The whole world? And she said, yes. And at that moment was when God called me. And I looked up to him and I said, I'm supposed to pay attention to this part, right? And he said, yes. And in October of 2020, I looked up to him and laughed. And I said, that's why you wanted me to get off of those apps. Because if I was still messing with these boys, I never would have educated myself, you know?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So it's crazy. Like, God is calling us, guys. And I want you all to, you know, who are listening to this now, to just know that he is always calling us, you know? And then there gets to a point where if you're not answering that call, your heart will be hardened, right? Sure. And you won't be, you know, in that blessing anymore. But I promise you, and I guarantee you, no matter how hard it looks on the outside, because, you know, when we continue with this story, you're going to hear their struggles. Many of you already know my struggles. But let me tell you, there is nothing like seeing the hand of God move and knowing that you are where you are supposed to be according to his purpose. And there is nothing more peaceful or joyful than that than you will ever experience in your life. So this is awesome. I didn't even know that we were going to have a testimony like this. So this is great. Okay, so let's fast forward to talking about your hospital. Like, you found yourself having to come in.
I did, yeah. And so, yeah, to just go back real quick. Yeah, so I had, it was Monday. What was that? April 30th. I had something, I got home from work and I noticed that something was wrong with my left breast. And I was just like, okay, this is not usual. Like, it was swollen, it was red, it was hot to the touch, it was a little painful, it was like really hard. And I was like, yeah, no, something's definitely wrong. But I was like, you know, I'll pray and, you know, hopefully, you know, it's just kind of like this fluke thing, I don't know. And I was like, you know, I'll just wake up and I'll be okay. And so I think I did like a warm compress and then that was it. I went to sleep that night and I woke up the next morning and it was actually worse. And so I was like, well, okay, maybe I started thinking maybe I should go to the doctor. But then I kept going back and forth because I didn't have a fever. And so I was like, well, I don't think it's an infection. Maybe it'll just pass. Well, I ended up going because I got home that day, which was Tuesday, and it was even worse than it was in the morning when I woke up. And so he had like a football practice meeting he had to go to. And I was like, okay, well, when he comes back, I'll go. So I went to the ER and yeah, I just was like, oh, sorry. And was like, you know, I have to I'd rather be safe than sorry. And I really only went in because it was getting worse. It wasn't getting any better. And then I also was starting to feel like achy, my shoulder and my left shoulder and my left arm. And that's when I was like, okay, yeah, something's definitely wrong. And so went in and I, you know, just thought I was going to be in and out. Well, no, I think they, after the CT scan and they ran the labs, at like 2 a.m. they, you know, you guys came in and informed me like the situation and, you know, advised me. And so I ended up getting admitted and stayed overnight. But kind of to backtrack, when I was sitting there, I was in there for, I think that was what, 5 hours?
Yeah, at kind least. Of, yeah.
Yeah. By myself pretty much the whole time. You guys were coming in and out, but, and so I was praying a lot while I was in there. And so I really was, my prayer the whole time was like, okay, Lord, whatever the outcome of this, if it's cancer, whatever it is, God, your will be done. Like, I accept it with open hands. I don't want to hold on to anything. I'm not, you know, I will relinquish whatever. I said, if whatever the case, like, I want to be able to receive what it is that you have for me. And if that is a cancer diagnosis, because that's where our mind goes, right?
When yeah, absolutely. Because you're not breastfeeding anymore, you know? Right. So, you know, primarily we would think it's like mastitis, like a clogged breast duct. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my prayer the whole time. Like, you can use this, Lord, if it is cancer and I have to go through that, you'll use it. And so, I want you to help prepare my heart now for whatever the diagnosis is when they come and tell me, because the longer the time kept going, the more worried I was starting to feel.
Right.
was like, I don't think I should still be here. But talk you, I know you came in a couple times, and after talking to you, I was just like, okay, like I'm okay. Like, I mean, I felt like I was in good hands, mostly because of you. So thank you for that. And
You're
so,
welcome.
yeah, just I felt really informed about my decision, and I just felt comfortable with staying overnight and getting the treatment. And yeah, I think it was really, I think God had me there really not because of this, but I really, like I said, it was a divine appointment. I think if this one had happened, we would have never met. And so it's just one with kind of one of those things where I think it was just a blessing in disguise, and I'm really thankful for it and thankful for you for being there and for being, obedient to what God has called you to. And yeah, I feel much better now. And so I'm thankful. As much as I'm like anti big pharma, I'm thankful for antibiotics, when they are
Yeah.
necessary, they
Well,
are.
exactly. And we're gonna on the second half of this break, we're gonna get into more about the nurse-patient relationship. And even though this person that I was orienting to the ER and training, she follows me on Facebook, but she never mentioned at all that she knows that I'm a whistleblower. And I don't make any I always talk about it, right? Maybe not necessarily about blowing the whistle, but I'm always sharing facts. I started in 2020 and I have not stopped my position on the mask, the social distancing, the not educating our children, the removal of the advocate from bedside, all of it. And so it was very interesting that she never addressed that. Because when I returned to the ER and it was a doctor that I used to work with who texted me and he said, "What are you doing? You," and I was like, "I have the radio show and my private membership community and none of it, which I really get paid for." But the Lord had always sustained me. So I wasn't out there like, just stressing that I didn't have money coming in, because anytime that I needed the money, something would happen, right? And I would get it. So I wasn't going to go out there and just be like, "I don't trust you, God. I need to go find a job and I'm going to go apply and blah, blah, blah." He reached out to me and he's like, "You need to be back in the ER." And so I interviewed with the managers and I told them, I said, "Hey, just so you know, I am a nurse whistleblower." And they said, "Well, we didn't really Google you. We know that your license is clean, but did you blow the whistle for patient safety?" And I said, "Absolutely." And they said, "That's all we need to know." And so
Wow.
when they said that, I said, "If you could, please just don't share this with other people. People are going to find out when they're supposed to find out. But I just want to be Nurse Jody. I missed it so much, you know?" And the crazy thing is that I have met about three other nurses who recognized me. And I told them the same thing. Could you keep it? And two doctors. And everybody has kept it quiet. So it's like, whoa, are you kidding? Like, we have some downtime at the nurses station. That's usually when, tons start moving and nobody has said anything yet. So that was a blessing. But I do want to talk about the difference in my nursing and her nursing care. Because there's a difference when you're educated on that side of people that do not want to do like medical treatments and those that would just follow anything that we said. You know what I mean? So, anyway, guys, check out our family of sponsors. We have some amazing products and exclusive discounts available to you, the America Out Loud Talk Radio listener. I'm a big proponent of dilute povidone iodine. We have that product. We also have some great supplements, Dr. Ely. And we also have so many different amazing show hosts. Dr. Peter McCullough is on here, Dr. Henry Ely, Dr. Brian Artist, Dr. Janice Schmidt. We have Tom Renz, the attorney. We also have a military host, that talk about. So we have programming for you 24/7. So make sure you're checking that out. You can also download the America Out Loud Talk Radio app and just click on that 24/7, and you are going to hear a different show host speaking. So we will be right back with the amazing Aaron and Chris.
It's time and this is what.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all. At a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. I am your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley. And on the first half, we, you know, started getting into a little bit about the difference in when your eyes are opened and when they're not. And, you know, that is not saying anything to anybody out there, you know, because I believe that our eyes are opened when they're supposed to be, right? My eyes were not open to all of these. I didn't even know about how bad even our previous vaccines are until 2021. So, you know, I do not want you guys to think at all that there's some judgment here or not. But if you're listening to the show, there's a reason, right? I'll say that right now. So look into that a little further. Perhaps God is calling, you know, and tugging at your heart. And, you know, when you are, you know, I think so many times people, you know, I'll use myself as an example. They say, oh, I wish I had the faith like you. I wish I had more faith. And here's the thing. It's not about the faith, because God tells us all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. So just a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit, you need to think, or, you know, you need to believe that Jesus was here and he died on the cross for our sins. Right? Just a tiny little bit. But the big part I think so many believers are missing is the part about submission, the part about telling God, like, your will be done, not Jody's will, not Chrissy's will, not Aaron's will, but your, right? Like, And so with that, there's my little preaching, I guess. For somehow God thought that I would be like a preacher on some aspects. But what I am,
he can talk about this stuff all day. So you're right in his lane.
Okay. Well, I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to have you send us out in prayer. So get ready for that. But yeah, so, okay. So Chrissy's in there, you know, there's this complaint of left breast pain. It's swollen, it's hard, it's red, like she said. And the first question, or one of the first questions a nurse asked was, when's your last mammogram? And she's like, oh no, I don't want that. And that was my first clue.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. She said, when was your first mammogram? I said, oh, I've never had one. She said, how old are you? I said, 40. She's like, oh, you might. It's about that time. You might want to. I was like, no. I was like, I'm actually never going to get a mammogram. And she kind of looked at me. She was like, oh, can I ask why? And so I just, you know, explained to her why, you know, and I said, oh, I've done a lot of reading on it and a lot of research. And I've read about, you know, the radiation and the pressure that it causes. And if you do have cancer and all these things, I started telling her. She was just looking at me like, are you really saying all these things? And yeah. And so it was just kind of one of those things. And then you looked like, oh, she's actually somewhat informed of, you know, her health and what's going on. And so that, along with when I had, you know, said I wasn't going to take the COVID shot, I think that's when you were like, oh, okay.
Well, so what I did was I was the one who asked you.
Okay.
Yes. I asked you if you had taken the COVID vaccine or injection, because I was testing out, like, how much does this chick know, you know? And so I asked you and you said, nope, I don't want it. Don't make me take it. And I said, here, well, in all transparency, I was asking you that to see what your thought process was. And at that time, she had walked out of the room, or she was attempting to walk out of the room to do tasks. And I stopped her and I said, no, come back here. You need to hear this, you know, because this is the thing. It's like nurses, we need to be informed. If where there's smoke, there's fire. So if you have a lot of people that are, you know, not even a lot of people, but if you have a good portion, you know, of people that you are actually listening to, right? And hearing, what are their concerns? You know, do they need more education to be more informed? But I guarantee you, you and your education would have put her to shame because she had no idea, right? You have more education on the topic of mammograms, I guarantee you, than she does. Because I agree with you, there is no studies on the cumulative dose effects of radiation. If you start getting it at 40, you are getting radiated every time you go in for your checkup, right? And so we don't know. And there are other alternatives. And that's where I, you know, had talked to her and I was like, no, you need to hear this because there is something called thermography, you know, that people can do as well. And, you know, and she was receptive to it, but again, I don't know exactly where she stands on that and it doesn't really matter. But what matters is that we are there as the patient advocate and mind you, in no way, shape or form was she going to try to talk you into getting the mammogram, right? But then the topic of antibiotics came up. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I think it came up and I was like, I think I said something like, well, is there anything else I can have? Like, I just don't want antibiotics. And then the PA asked, well, you know, can you tell me why you don't want antibiotics? And then I just kind of went into my spiel again. And I was just like, well, you know, I've done a lot of reading up on them and they're actually very harmful for the good bacteria, you know, in our microbiome, and they like cause havoc to our gut health. And I just try to avoid them, you know, at all costs. And if there's anything else we can do, I'd rather do that. If we can't, I totally get it. But, you know, I'll take him if I have to. It's kind of one of those last resort things for me. And he was also kind of just surprised. I think he was the one that asked me, right? Was it?
He did ask you. And that's another point I want to make, is that anytime a doctor went in that room, I try to make it a point to go in with them, because, you know, they could say one thing. You could be looking at the patient and then you're thinking, are they understanding what he's saying? So it's a way to make sure that your patient is understanding. And funny story, he and I worked together at the hospital that I blew the whistle on.
Oh.
I mean, talk about, and guys, I'm not in like close where I used to work. I am well over an hour away now. So it's just interesting. But, you know, he's also one of those people that will be informed. And he had a good bedside manner too, right?
He did, for sure. Yeah. He was very kind and very understanding and really heard me out. And I was thankful that you were there. I know one thing that I really appreciated was when you asked me, do you know what it is that you're taking and why you're taking it? Like, you really wanted me to be informed for myself. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, you know, give you my little spiel. And then you like came in and you were like, okay, yeah. And also this and this. And I was like, thank you. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened to me in a doctor's office where anybody cared to know what I thought and if I understood what was really happening and what was really going on. And so like your advocacy, like I think it needs to be at every bedside in every hospital.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's important to me because, like I tell people all the time, nurses, our number one role is to the patient. We're part of a larger interdisciplinary team and we have to work and collaborate with them. But my job, any nurse's job, is to the patient in front of them. That is it, 100%. And so no matter what you said, like if you were going to say, no, I don't want antibiotics, I would have had more conversations with the doctors and the nurses at the station and saying, hey, what can we do? I mean, is there anything else that we could, you know, supply education to her with, you know? I think so many nurses, they just feel like, I mean, because the talk at the station was like, what do you mean she doesn't want a mammogram? What do you mean? Like, that could be cancer. And it's like, because we're so used to doing the same things all the time. And they don't even really know. I'm about to do a show on debriefing, because that's what the doctor called it, right? That's another excellent point that I can share, is that I have my knowledge, like you have your knowledge, right? And I could be sitting there at the nurse's station and a topic come up and we start talking about COVID in 2020. And, you know, the injections and everything that happened, and every single nurse and the doctor that was there, they all said, yes, something was up. They all know it. They all know it. Every single one of them knows it. But they had been told over and over and over again that we're doing the best we could. This is all we have. You know what I'm saying? That they just, they stuck to it. And then when you have someone like me come in and be able to spiel off fact, you know, they're just like, ooh.
Oh.
You know? And they don't know I'm a whistleblower. So that's a good point, because then there would be that judgment, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I remember you asking me, like, what would you do in this situation? And I said, I would absolutely take the antibiotic. I mean, it's there. We don't know why this is occurring. If had you just been breastfeeding or something, that might've been a little bit different, but we don't know why, you know, it was happening. And they didn't see anything on the scan. So that's good. But then they offered you the opportunity to stay overnight, and you accepted. And I remember you talking to your husband and you know, saying that you were going to stay overnight. How was that experience?
Yeah, I think it was just before I even called him, I prayed. And I was just like, okay, Lord, like, what does this look like? Because the first thing that starts going through my mind is I'm like, I have work tomorrow. Right. He has work. We have three little girls. Like, how is this going to work? Like, I don't even know if it's feasible to stay in here, like, overnight. And so that all started running through my mind. And I was just like, no. I was like, I just prayed. And I was like, okay. So I called him. But it was like, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so he actually didn't answer. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys all had walked out for me to call him. And so I did call, but he was, and I had told him, I'm like, go to sleep. Like, yes. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. And bless him, because he stayed up till like 12, 1. I think he was waiting like for me. And I was like, babe, just go to sleep. Like, you have work tomorrow. Like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so when I did call him, he, like I said, didn't answer. So I just went into prayer and I'm like, okay, like what makes the most sense right now? Like, I don't want to leave here, because the option was, if I leave, I can get an oral antibiotic, but I also risk still going sepsis, because it wasn't going to, the oral is not as effective as the IV injection, yeah, antibiotics. And so I was like, well, the last thing I need to do is get more sick. And so then I looked up sepsis real quick and I was like, oh, blood infection, organ failure. I was like, oh no. I was like, that's all bad.
Yes.
So, and then I remember you guys had, when you guys came in, you guys had told me that all my levels, like my white blood cell count, like everything was rising, mm-hmm, as if like on the onset of infection was coming. And so I was like, okay, clearly like I haven't been getting better. So I think like this is the best medically sound decision, from just gathering all the, yeah, things that I was, you know, thinking and gathering and thinking about and just praying about it. And I'm like, okay, God will work out everything else. Like, if I'm not like 100% or getting better, like I can't even, you know, I can't take care of all that. And so, right, like I need to get better first. And so,
yeah
I was just like, well, I'm just going to stay.
And it was a good experience.
Oh, yes. I was really thankful. Yeah. No, you guys were awesome. I don't think I've ever been like felt that comfortable, like in a medical setting and making like an informed decision before. And so,
oh, great.
Super thankful. Yeah.
And
super.
How are you now? How are you today?
Oh, I'm much better.
Oh, good.
I got my antibiotics and I'm taking them, and I'll take them until they run out, like I was told to, even though I don't want to.
Right.
but I will. Mm-hmm. And I feel better. It's like my breast is already like almost back to
stop. Yes, praise God. Aaron's like, yeah, I wasn't having none of that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I feel much better. Yeah, no more achy. Like, the swelling's gone. The redness is almost gone. It's still a little red and a little hard, but not nearly where it was on Tuesday. So,
yeah. Okay. You know, well, good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that what we recommended was the right course of treatment. I tell people this all the time. There is a time and place for Western medicine. You know what I mean? It's just when people don't want to look at the underlying cause and do something different, you know, like, you know, if you have high blood pressure or something, maybe you should stop drinking alcohol, lose some weight, start exercise, those types of things. It's like when you put a Band-Aid on it, because certainly all that's going to do is just promulgate more and more medication. So before like closing out the show, I wanted to talk, did you guys lose any friends or family throughout this, you know, having your positions? Like, were you masking and staying home and stuff?
we did, unfortunately. It was just kind of one of those things where, so as my husband mentioned earlier, I'm like super passionate. And when I get super passionate about things, it's like, I can go like to the extreme with it. And I don't know any other way. It's just how I am. And so with the whole COVID thing, I was like super like firm on my stance. And I was like, no, I was like, you know, I just, I, there was not, it just was not settling well with me. It was like, no, you know, I know, you know, these big organizations like WHO were, you know, creating and releasing the, you know, gain of function viruses and doing all these things. And it's like, no, like we have to know, we have to be informed. And saying those things, like, there's, you know, these masks don't prevent anything. Like they don't, like, if you actually read even on the box, it says, like, it's like, come on, people, like, we have to be making informed decisions here. And I just feel like people were just, they just do whatever Fox News and CNN tells them to do. And it's like, well, if we just read up a little bit, you know, it doesn't take much.
Just
you know?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. It really doesn't take much. And so it's like, we would go back and forth with friends and family. And we had some family mad with us and friends mad with us for a little while. I think we're okay now. I think we're better now. Yeah. But
were they telling you that they wouldn't come over to the house if you didn't have the mask on? Okay, talk, Aaron. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, no, actually, we're still kind of dealing with that a little bit, you know.
With his grandmother.
Yeah, you know, and God bless her soul. She's, you know, she's older and, you know, I definitely get it, you know, and my thing was for a lot of it was, you know, letting wisdom be the principal thing, you know, the knowledge and the information that we gain is in my mind to expand our capacity for God to use us. And in certain situations where I'm really proud and thankful that I see my wife, even in this current situation, is me being asleep and her having to trust God and make a decision that is against something that she's been studying. And I think what that speaks to is that, you know, we've kind of gotten this space and God's helped us. Obviously, I say obviously because we can't do it without him, is to understand that the laws and the rules that we govern ourselves by are from a different kingdom. And so no matter what we even think that is right in our mind, right, we have to submit that information and knowledge at his feet and let trust him in that moment. Because even though this may go against something that she's passionate about, she's strong about, if in that moment God says, take this antibiotics,
you
going against that with all the knowledge you have puts you in a sinful state. And the fruit of that could be more sickness or whatever have you, not in a punishment, but because we missed the mark.
Yeah.
And we sin against God, but we transgress against people. And so our first obligation is always to please him, especially in those moments. So I'm excited about, thankful and excited about what God has done with her, through her. I tell her when I hear certain things like that, well, it took place and even the results of even our families and friends, you know, it's always God really just trying to show us a little bit about ourselves. And so, yes, in those moments where people kind of turn their back on us or maybe, you know, distance themselves, you know, to God be the glory. He said that would happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad it's happening because of us pleasing him and not us doing something mean or whatever have you.
So it was
definitely kind of a rejoicing moment because it was, I think that's what COVID was in its entirety, was it was a test for believers to see where our heart was at, right? The level of fear always defines our closeness with God, right? When people were afraid, they were tormented by what could be, what isn't. And the now faith stance wasn't present in a lot of people, right? We weren't operating from a place of faith. And so I thank God, as you said earlier, Jody, that God was preparing us for that. And I think that comes to what we talked about in the beginning as desiring a higher calling. You know, the difference between the multitude and the disciples said, we want more, Jesus. We want more from you. We want to learn. When those parables went out, some people just said, that's too hard. I don't want to know it. I'm out. Yeah. But disciples said, explain it. And when we put a position ourselves to want to know for the right reasons, right? Not to gloat and to put our heads in a space that we're trying to tell somebody what they're not. But it's also because, and I was challenging my wife because of her passion, is how are you going into sharing this information? Is it to serve them or is it to show how much you know? Mm-hmm. If it's in that place of service and we're going after the hearts and minds of God's people to help them have an encounter for themselves, then the reception of what you're giving them is more likely to be, you know, welcoming,
yeah.
Right? Because I realize, okay, you really are here because you love me. Because sometimes as much as we want to share this information, if the soil is not prepared for the seed, we're really wasting our time. And so the positioning, even in the moment I was listening to the interaction you guys had in the hospital, there was so much care. There was so much care in the conversations, right? And choosing the right time to share certain things and, you know, even kind of waiting like you did, Jody, to see where this patient was before I share what I really want to give you. You know, I know this may sound cliche and kind of real churchy, but I think it's something that we've really tried to focus on, and I'll end here, is really praying before we do anything.
Amen.
I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, a phone call conversation, a nurse coming in, asking you a question, like working and practicing being in that space. Mm-hmm. And it's just, even if we don't think God has given us a word audible or we heard, we've moved ourselves out of the way and said, God, speak.
Yep.
Whether it be through me, the doctor, the nurse. And so I was just listening to that. And again, you know, I'm thanking God that we're consistently trying to pursue that place of saying, Lord, we need to hear from you. So I know I kind of jumped a couple places, but full circle, yes, there were some challenging moments. And I think it's brought us to this place to have these type of encounters and interactions with people like yourself, Jody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, gosh, Aaron, I can't wait to the next hour. This is going to be so amazing. I mean, this first one was just off the charts, but this next one, I sit here and I think of a few things like you had said. Well, first of all, you know, for me, after I knew that I was being called, right? After I, you know, it blew the whistle in the manner in which I did, I was so, the one thing that I was so afraid of, and still to this day, is walking outside of God's will.
Come on.
Like, I am like, because I know the enemy is just hanging around me and my family, right? Just waiting for me to open up that door again, you know, to anything that I had once done. And, you know, I mean, I've been saved a couple times, you know, and right. but, you know, there's something very different than what it feels like now, because when 2020 hit, I could not get enough of him. I wanted more, yeah. You know, and more and more. And it just, and then when you said about, you know, that you were proud of your wife for making that decision, you know, to take the antibiotics, even though everything she knows is against it, it reminded me of that, you know, where God said, you know, that the person is, there's a storm coming and he sends a boat and he's like, no, I'll wait for the next one. You know, that thing.
Yeah.
It's like, thank goodness that she was sensitive enough to the spirit. And perhaps God needed me to be the person to tell her that, because maybe she wouldn't have heard it from anybody else. You know?
Definitely not me.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this was an amazing conversation. We are going to continue this next week with Aaron and Chrissy, and we are going to hear about Aaron's journey in the military and being coerced to take the injection or lose his pension after 23 years. And we'll find out his story and what he wound up doing next. But until next time, guys, be safe, be well, and God bless you. Please share this show with everyone and everyone, because this might just be my favorite show I've done to date. Until next time.
It's time in this city.